Recording.
Now we're holding on page Nun in Tainis Oischof. We learned yesterday the Gemara had given a drosha on a pasuk from Kehelas in Yishech HaNochash B'loi Lochash Ve'en Yisrin L'Bala Loshin. The simple meaning of it is, if the snake bites because nobody charmed it to prevent it from biting, then what good does the master of the tongue do? In other words, the whole point is he's there in order to charm the snake and then and de-escalate things with it. And if he doesn't do that, what good is he accomplishing? So yesterday we learned a drosha about it, that Yishoich was Meloshin, was actually taken as Meloshin rusty and Nochosh Meloshin Nechoshes, copper. And therefore the vort was that we said when the heavens are rusty like copper and rain is not coming. So we said B'loi Lochash means because they're not davening properly, and we learned the drosha on that. So now the Gemara brings a drosha that's closer to the simple meaning of the pasuk. Amar of Levi or the Shlokish, my dichtiv, that same pasuk in Yishech HaNochash B'loi Lochash, if the snake bites because nobody charmed it, the Ein Yisru and the Bala Loshen, and there's no advantage to the master of the tongue. So here we're going to take it that we are in fact talking about an actual snake rather than before we said Nochash Meloshen Nechoshes. In the future, after Mashiach comes, all the animals are going to gather together to talk to the snake. Why Dafka then? Ion Yaakov points out because, like this, all the animals ate from the Eitz Hadas. It's brought in Medrash that it wasn't only that Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas and gave some to Adam, she gave to all the animals in the world as well, which is why all of them are mortal as well. So now Osid Lover, when that's going to be undone, so except for the Nochosh, the pasuk actually says that even Osid Lover and Nochosh offer lachma, the snake's food is still going to be dust, just like it was after the Chet Eitz Hadas. So they're all going to gather to him to ask him, like, what gave you the idea to do this in the first place, where you're so bad off that even Osid Lover, you're still going to be the same snake that you were before. So they ask it, and they tell him, a lion claws its prey and eats it. So Rashi explains dodus means that it eats it, that it kills it on the spot and eats it. Different other mafreshim talk about another possibility of dodus may mean that it eats it while it's still alive. The point is that's a lion's way of eating. Ze'ev a wolf is todef, it rips and then it eats, which means either that it takes it back to its lair and eats it. Rashi explains because the difference is the lion, being the king of animals, is not afraid of anybody else, so therefore he can eat his prey out in the open, as opposed to a wolf has to schlep it back to his den so nobody else attacks him for it. According to the explanation that dodus means he eats it while it's alive, then the ze'ev waits till it's dead before it eats it. Anyway, so other animals, it's true, they attack. But they attack, but they have a hanah from it. They gain food from it. After mahanah yeshlecha, you snake, when you bite people and you inject venom into them, what benefit are you getting from that? It's a male of small animals, you can eat them, but if you bite a person, what benefit are you getting from that? It's not like you're going to eat him. Omalahem, and the snake answers back to them, nu ve'en yisru and the bala loshen. Well, the master of the tongue, meaning a person who speaks lashon hara, has no advantage either. He also speaks lashon hara, even though he's not getting hanav. So I'm the same way. Hashem. So like this, in other words, it actually explains the point of this little conversation between the other animals and the nachash is for him to be embarrassed all over again that he was the prototypical mesaper lashon hara. So he's telling them, you know, it's true. A Baal Lashon Hara has no Hana either from what he does, and therefore Hashem made me this way. Marsha points out that the point is, you know, after Chet Tadash, after the Chet Tadash, when Hashem is handing out punishments to the snake, to the snake, and to Chava, and to Adam, so Hashem says, "Who Yeshuv Chorosh that the Va'atach Benu Okev, that the snake is going to try to bite people." Nevertheless, the animals are asking, okay, you have a nature to bite people, but why do you bother? I understand you have that koyach to do that, but after to shvenu okay, you have the power to bite a person on the heel and kill him, but why do you use that power? And so he answers them with that. And Marshall adds, that's also, now the Gemara has not darshan the phrase b'loy lochash, The Gemara is darshin in yishay chanochash. If the snake bites and the ve'en yisrael on the bala loshin, what's the with the beloy lochash part? The point is, Maharsha says, you see, after all, that even nowadays a snake can be charmed and calmed down so that it doesn't bite. So you see, it's not an inevitable thing that a snake is going to harm a person. Therefore, lost love. The other animals ask it, so why do you do it in the first place? And he answers them, because I'm acting the same way as the bala loshin har. It can also mean that the snake is brought as a punishment for people who are misapri lashon hara. We have an example in Parshas Chukas where they're complaining about the mon, and Hashem says, Rashi brings in the pasuk over there that the snake was the original kofri tova, and therefore he's gonna be brought to punish the Jewish people who are acting ungrateful to Hashem. And the snake, everything tastes of dust to him, so he's gonna be the vehicle to punish Bnei Yisrael, where the mon tastes like anything possible. So there's that connection also, that the snake is sometimes used as a punishment for Balei Lashon Hara. Getting back to the topic of tefillah, we mentioned before that when there's no rain, then you need the Balei tefillah to get involved. So the Gemara brings, Amar Rav Ami, ain't tefillah shel adam nishmas, elim ken mesim nafshe b'chapon. A person's tefillah is heard only if he places his soul in his hand. Which what that means, we'll talk about in a second. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Nisal avenu el kapoyim. We will lift up our hearts to kapoyim. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk is kapoyim means the heavens or the clouds or something like that. It's a pasuk in Eicha. Mitzudas David explains over there that the heavens are called kapayim. We learned that actually yesterday. Al kapayim kisa'ur, either because clouds sometimes start out small like a hand. You have a pasuk in Malachim that uses such a simile for a cloud, and then they become bigger and bigger, or because the heavens are like a kippah, like a dome over us. Whatever the case, here the Gemara is darshin in kapayim melosh in the hands. So we have to lift up our hearts to our hands. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says it means that his nefesh is. And Rashi says shenafshe mechuvenes bekapim b'chutz, that his soul is precisely in his hand on the outside. Now, what does Rashi mean by that? So Marsha explains that it means, in other words, that he's belev shalim. He's not echad bepev, echad belev. He's not pretending to be one thing on the outside and thinking something else internally. His mind, his heart, is actually aligned with what he's feeling and what he's doing on the outside as well. Marsha adds also, like this, usually we would use the expression that it means what he says with his mouth and what he feels with his heart, as if they're both together in one place in his hand. That's the Meshim Nafshe B'chapa. There are many other explanations. Iyun Yaakov says that it means that he's ready to be Moisim Nefesh. We often find in Psukim, when you use the expression Nafshe B'chapa, you have in Tillim, for example, Nafshi B'chapi Samid. You have an expression in a Pasuk, Ba'osim Nafshi B'chapi, other expressions like that. It always means for a person to risk his life. So therefore, Iyun Yaakov says that it means the person is ready to risk his life, is ready to go on Mesiras Nefesh. That would be another meaning of Mesim Nafshe B'chapa. Ben Yehoyada says it means similar to what Maharsha is saying, that it means that what he's saying is aligned with what he's doing. He doesn't just say empty words. He actually acts in accordance with those words and actually acts in the way that he's expressing himself in davening. And Eitz Yosef says that he's on a point of close and nefesh almost, whereas neshama is like almost going to leave his body, and therefore it's like in his hands, ready to leave his body. That's how intensely focused he is on other course. Anyway, so you have this pasuk nisalovenu akapoyim. Now the Gemara points out, on the other hand, ukim Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni amura ale. On the other hand, Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni one time set up an amura in front of him. We have throughout Shas, we find that the Chachamim in the time of the Gemara would, when they were giving a shiur in public, when they were giving a shiur or a drosha in public, they would say something quietly and briefly, and then there would be an amura standing over them who would explain it more loudly and more clearly to the tzibur. In fact, that's why the amuroim, the period of the amuroim, that's why they're called that, because they looked at themselves like that's our role. The Tanoim have told us the basic, and our job is to publicize it and explain it to the oil. Anyway, so Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni put up an amoda in front of him, bedorash, and he said the following public drasha. He wanted to make sure that everybody understands this point. psukim saying tilim. Vayifatu b'fihem, the Jewish people, so to speak, tricked Hashem with their mouths, that they said, they spoke words of tshuva to Hashem. But meanwhile, with their tongues, they're lying to Hashem. They're saying that we're going to be good, but they don't really live up to it. The libam lenochanimai, and their hearts are not properly prepared to be with Hashem. Say, and they're not faithful to Hashem's covenant. But nevertheless, as the next pasuk continues in Tehillim, Hashem still has rachmonos and forgives their aveiros. So in other words, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni wanted everybody to know that as much as, of course, a person should have kavana and a person should focus on a lakus, nevertheless, Hashem is willing to accept people's tefillos even if it's insincere. Well, the Gemara says kashin adodi. In that case, we have a contradiction. We just said that you have to have nafshei b'chapo, that you have to be completely sincere, and your mind and your heart and your what you're saying and your mice and whatever have to all be aligned. And here we're saying that even though vayifatur b'fiem, and even though v'libam le'nochanimai, nevertheless v'hu racham b'chaparav. And the answer is like kasha habi yochid habi tzibur. It depends whether we're talking about a yochid davening, a yochid the Eibishter is going to listen to his tefillah only when meisim nafshe b'chapoy, according to the various explanations that we just said. Whereas with the tzibur, Rashi points out that the pasuk is clearly referring to the tzibur. Vayifatuhu b'fihem, or v'lshoy nom yechaz v'loy, v'libam loy nochan imo, etc. So therefore, so it's referring to the tzibur. So then Hashem accepts their tefillah, even if it's not so sincere, because Hashem never rejects the tefillah of the rab. The Rif points out, when you get down to it, the pasuk Nisa lo aveinu al kapoyim is also in plural. So why are we saying that one is referring to the yochid? Because the psukim before that are referring to a yochid. In Eichayah, ma'is onen odem choy, why should a person complain as long as he's alive? Gever achatov, if he has anything to complain about, it should be for the fact that he's not overcoming his aveiros and he's not doing tshuva. So then, when the pasuk continues, Nisa lo aveinu al kapoyim, nach basad rachenu v'nach korah, etc. So it's all ultimately talking about the yochid. And when it says in plural, nach basad rachenu, nisa lo aveinu, etc., it means that every single person in the tzibur should be doing that. So therefore, so we can say that Nisa lo aveinu al kapoyim still refers to the yochid, and that the Eibishter is not going to accept his tefillah unless it's sincere and unless he has nafshe b'chapoy. Meanwhile, the psukim and tilim to begin with are talking about the tzibur, and their tefillah Hashem always accepts. Rab Ami continues with another drasha going back to the matter of rain. We're kind of going back and forth here between rain and tefillah and other things. Before we had a bunch of memories about why rain is held back because of this aveira and that aveira. Now we have the flip side of it. Rain falls only because of people who are trustworthy, people who keep their word. Shenemar, the pasuk says, emes me eretz titzmach. The MS grows from the earth, the tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, and tzedek looks down from heaven. So the point is, Rashi says, the emes me'eretz titzmach means when people are honest in business and in other things, then tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, Hashem gives rain, which is tzedakah, looks down from heaven on them. Marsha points out also the psukim, this is in Kapitel Pei Hei of Tilim, the psukim right after that also clearly talk about rain. Gam Hashem yitin atoiv, v'artzenu titin yivola. And he points out another reason why tzedek is associated with rain, because mazel tzedek. Anyway, the point is that when you have the balei amona, when you have honest people on earth, then Hashem brings rain in their schus. There are also mafoshim who explain actually that balei amona also means, like this we have, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, that there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, v'hoya emunas itecha, choysin yeshuas choch matvadas, and the Gemara explains over there that each of the six key words in that pasuk represents one of the shisha sdorim. Emunas refers to Zeroyim, Itecha to Moyed, and so forth. Why does Emunas refer to Zeroyim? Tosfos brings there from a Yerushalmi, Shemamin b'chei ha'olamim v'zereyim. That person, a farmer, most of Seder Zeroyim is talking about dinim involved, about halachas involving farming. So therefore, a person trusts in Hashem and he plants. So that's the same thing over here. When a person acts with Amona, he shows that he trusts Hashem. He plants. And he says it's not koichi va'utzim yodi, but rather that it depend on the Eibishter to bring the rain. That itself causes the Eibishter to reciprocate and taka bring the rain. That's another meaning of enak shomim yodin el b'shvil balei amon. Rab Ami says in this connection, boyur e kamagdolim balei amon. Come see how great are people who act in a trustworthy way, people who keep their word. Minayin mechulda ubur. We see that from a story involving a weasel and a pit. Now, the Gemara does not tell the story, because apparently in the time of the Gemara, the story was well known enough that the Gemara didn't have to elaborate. Rashi brings the details about it. The story is, the way Rashi tells it, is that there were a young man and woman who had promised each other, he had promised that he's going to marry her. They were out in the middle of nowhere, so who's going to be the Edim? So there was a pit there, and there was a weasel running by, so they said these will be the Edim. Later on, he disobeyed his promise and went and married another girl. They had two kids. One of them fell into a well one day and died, and the other one was bitten by a weasel and died. So his wife says, very strange things that are going on over here with our children. What's going on over here? And he tells her the whole story. And now she stops over there and doesn't tell anything further what happened. Did she tell him, go ahead and marry the girl? Did she do whatever happened from there? That the rat appointed rat, in Rashi's retelling of the story, it stops there. Tosfos gives more details. Tosfos gives a detail that the pit was actually that the girl had fallen into a deep pit and she couldn't get out of there. And a boy comes by and gets her out of there. And then he asks her before he gets her out of there, are you willing to marry me? And she agrees, yes. And they say that, yeah, the pit and the weasel will be Edom on it. And then they each go their separate ways. Eventually he disobeys his promise and marries somebody else. Same thing. They have two kids. They're killed by a Chulda and a Bo respectively. And this time in Tosfos's retelling, when he tells the story to his wife, then she says, you know what? You got to keep your promise to that girl. Fine, divorce me and go find her and keep your promise to her. This is it. It's right here. So here in the Gemara in Tainus, it doesn't actually tell the story. Rashi and Tosfos and the Oruch now, we're going to say, has an even more elaborate version of the story. But yeah, the Gemara itself, sometimes the Gemara will do that. Sometimes the Gemara will just mention a story without giving any details, and the Mefarshim will supply the details. We have a number of examples of that. There's in Masech Da'avad Zara, there's something like that, and Masech Sanhedrin, there's something like that. There's a few different places where the Gemara does that. It mentions a story, and it doesn't elaborate on it, apparently, because the story was well known enough when the Gemara was written, and later on the Rishonim have to clarify it for us. Anyway, the Oruch, the Hakosev, brings over here from the Oruch an even more elaborate version of the story, even more elaborate than Tosfos's version. It starts out similarly, that this girl was on her way to her parents' house, and she's wearing all kinds of jewelry. And she found a well, and she was thirsty. She went in there to drink, and then she couldn't get out. And this guy hears her, and then says that she tells him how she got in there. So he says, so again, he proposes, if I get you out of there, are you willing to marry me? When he schleps her out of there, he doesn't even want to wait to marry her. He wants to have relations with her right then. But she tells, they talk. He tells her he's a Kohen. She says, how are you talking to someone like you who's supposed to be an Ish Kodesh and going to act like that? No, we'll agree to marry, but you come to my parents and then we'll have a proper marriage rather than doing it stand by the road over here. Anyway, he promises her, Akitsu, they go their separate ways. Then you have the whole thing again where he breaks his promise and goes and marries another girl. And the upshot is also that the girl, meanwhile, in the story, the one who had been in the well, she kept her side of the promise. She refused to marry anybody else, and she acted in such a way to the extent that after a while, people thought she was crazy. Anytime anybody offers any proposal of marriage to her, she turns it down and acts in a crazy way, so people won't bother her anymore. And eventually, over time, eventually after this happens with the guy's two kids, pull down the burr, then his wife tells him, fine, divorce me and go find this girl. And he comes to this town and everybody tells her, this girl is crazy. Why would you want to marry her? She's not a grusha. His first husband, his first wife is a grusha. The girl never got married in the first place. No. So then they got married, and yeah. So the point is, however, so according to any of the versions of the story, the point is we see the importance of a person keeping their word. So Mahamamin Beholder or Burkach, Madoch, somebody who trusts just a weasel in a pit, then so much so that Hashem makes sure that it happens by having the weasel in the pit to be the means by which the promise is made to happen. Hamamin Bakarish Boruch, somebody who trusts in Hashem. And for example, does business honestly because he knows Hashem is watching. Allah has kama v'kama. How much more so that Hashem reciprocates that trust in him and makes it happen. And there's other examples of that also. For example, there's a Gemara in Nedarim that tells about six different ways that Rabbi Akiva became rich. one of them, again, the Gemara doesn't give the details over there, but Mefoshim and the Gemara supply the details that there was this rich Roman lady who one time Rabbi Akiva borrowed money from, and she asks him who will be the guarantor. He asks her, do you want guarantors? So she says, yes, I want Hashem and the sea, because they were standing by the seacoast, to be the guarantors. But Kitzer HaMaisa, when Rabbi Akiva was supposed to come back with the money, he was very sick and he couldn't make it. She, meanwhile, she's waiting over there all day for him to come. He told her that he's going to come, and she finally turns to Hashem and says, listen, I understand, Rabbi Akiva, there must be some very important reason why Rabbi Akiva is not here, but I really need the money. So Hashem, you and the sea are supposed to be the guarantors. Please come through for me. Kitzer HaMaisa, the Eibishter puts it in the mind of a princess in Rome to take a big chest full of jewels and gold and whatnot in Rome and throw it into the sea. It doesn't sink. It goes from wave to wave until it lands on the shore right in front of this lady. And later on, when Rabbi Akiva comes back to pay her the money with apologies, I'm sorry, I was very sick, she tells him Hashem and the sea did in fact come through, and you can keep the money that you were going to bring me and use it for yourself and your Talmid. So that's another example of using something in the world as a guarantor, and Hashem Taka comes through with it and made it happen and use the sea as the means for it to happen. Don't try it. I don't know. Yes. Okay. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Now we mentioned just now the pasuk emetz me'eretz titzmach. So now the Gemara brings another drosha on that same pasuk. A person who makes himself a tzaddik below, matzdikin all of us a din milamayla, then Hashem makes just and straight the din on him up above. Shenema, the same pasuk, emes me'eretz titzmach, truth grows from the earth, but tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, and tzedek and righteousness means looks down from the heaven. So Rashi explains it means when a person makes himself a tzaddik, a person works to improve his ways and make himself into a tzaddik, then Hashem, we know that a tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik imam kochot asayra. So this bears that out. Therefore, that when the person makes himself more of a tzaddik on earth, then Hashem starts acting with him more according to the kav of strict justice than he did before. Before, Hashem would give him more of a break, because the average person, Hashem deals with him with midas harachmim, but here, where now he's raised himself to the level of a tzaddik, well then, tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktikim imam kochot asayra. And therefore, so the pasuk is saying that emes me'eretz titzmach, that when the truth grows from the earth, meaning that he works to make himself a true tzaddik, then tzedek, where Rashi explains tzedakah, would mean to act lefnei mishur hadin. Tzedek, on the contrary, usually tzedek goes together with the word mishpat, and therefore it suggests strict din. That's according to Rashi. Maushar doesn't like that explanation, because there are other places in the Gemara where it talks about this concept of medaktikim atzedikim called the Saira, and the Gemara never brings this drosha in that connection. So rather, Maushar explains with a slightly different girsa, not kolamatzik as atzmim elamata, as we have in the Gemara over here in Ein Yaakov, but rather a different girsa that you find in Yalkut Shimoni, kolamatzik all of us adin elamata. So what it means is like this, Maushar explains. We know that when things happen to a person that don't seem to be so good, then sure, you should be matzik all of a sudden. You should know that Hashem is always just and righteous and fair and not complain. Chayv adam levarach al ra and all of that. On the other hand, though, a person has to be careful. Al tiftach pelas sotim, Mara points out in several places. A person should never say on himself, like, I deserve to have bad things happen to me. So Marsha says that is what the Gemara means over here. Kolamatzik all of us adin milamata. When a person says on himself, I deserve such and such punishments, then that causes, that taka evokes by the Eibishter, that such things are actually going to happen. And we have many examples of that in various places in the Gemara, that a person should be careful to not open his mouth to the sun. So Marsha says rather what he should do, he should ask for rachamim. Yes, maybe he realizes that he does deserve punishment for his various averas, but instead of saying that he deserves that punishment, instead he should be asking for rachamim for Hashem. So therefore, so emes me'eretz titzmach, when he speaks in a way of emes, he's saying the truth is, yes, I deserve punishments, then the tzedek m'shamayim nishkaf, then that evokes a tzedek to look up from above. And Marsha points out also the word nishkaf is very advisedly chosen over here, because it's throughout Tanakh in general, when we find the word that shodesh, nishkaf, hashkifa, or other words like that, it usually means l'ra'ah. It usually means looking for a bad purpose. For example, you have after the malachim eat by Avraham, by hashkifu al pnei Sodom. They're gazing at Sodom, and they're not looking at it in a kind way. They're looking at it as this is a place that needs to be destroyed. The same way, we have there is the one exception, hashkifa l'mayin kodshecha, and it actually says on that really hashkafa would be l'ra'ah, but because the Jewish people do mitzvahs, and because specifically they do the mitzvah of Bikurim and Vidri Meiser, and therefore that evokes a rachmin from Hashem, that causes that shkofa, which would normally be l'ra, to be transformed into l'tova. But anyway, here where it says tzedek mishamayim nishkof, then Marashah says that's what it means, that Hashem looks at him with a tzedek, with, like Rashi says, a mishpat, a din, the way of looking at him, and therefore he ends up taka having what he had said in his very own words. Then Yehoyada says another point on it, that matzikatzmi milamata can mean, for example, that a person realizes for himself that, let's say, he might say, there was a certain amount of time that I didn't learn Torah, or I wasn't careful with such and such a mitzvah or whatever, and he realizes to himself that I was wrong to do that. I was using excuses, but rather than never mind the excuses, the fact is I know that I was not living up to what I should. So then, matzdik, and all of us, I did milamayla, then it means that Hashem taka reciprocates and says that, you know what, since you're willing to admit that you're not using excuses or whatever, then therefore I'm going to treat you with tzedek, where he learns that actually tzedek is malosh and tzedakah, that Hashem therefore is going to treat him more kindly as a result of that. Anyway, Rav Chiya ba'Oven, Amar Rav Huna Mehocha, you have a different pasuk that expresses the same point, uchir oscha evrasecha. According to your fear is your anger. Meaning, in other words, it actually says, the more a person fears Hashem, the more Hashem displays his anger at him in order to clean up his averus in this world. Because we're saying, tzaddikim, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktikim at tzaddikim kufat asayra? So that any little minor averus that they did are completely cleaned up in this world, and therefore there's nothing left for them to be punished la'olam haba. So therefore, chiyurasecha, the more a person fears Hashem, evrasecha is how Hashem displays open anger for his few averus, so that they get cleaned up in this world. According to Marsha, the vote is that, again, when the person acts yirasecha, he fears and he says, you know what, I taka deserve such and such punishments, evrasecha, then Hashem taka makes those punishments happen to him, since he opened up his mouth to the Satan and therefore brought ketrugim on himself. Yeah, obviously, if the person is completely free of averus, you know, you have like the pasuk says, ein tzadik ba'aretz, asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta, so yeah. Rish Lakish Amar Mehocha. Rish Lakish says you have a third pasuk that expresses the same point as well. Pasuk says, "Pogata esos va'oset tzedek." You Hashem have punished. Pogata means like you. We find in a number of places in Tanakh where the word poga, which literally means to encounter, means like to encounter with hostile intent. You have a few places in Sefer Malachim, for example, where the word poga means to kill. Gash Pagaboy, for example, go and encounter him and kill him. For example, you have a couple of people that Shlomo gives instructions to remove certain dangerous enemies of his rule. Anyway, so Pogato Esos, you Hashem have encountered and punished and even killed Esos V'Oyset Tzedek, the people who were happy to do Tzedek, the Tzedekim who are happy to do what you want. The ones who in your ways would always mention you, the ones who always acted according to your ways and are always mentioning you, Hashem. And the pasuk continues, "Hei nata katzavta v'nechta." Behold, you have gotten angry and we sinned. In other words, these are tzaddikim that they were always. So that you gave them Yisurim, but they keep on mentioning you for good, and they say, they're Matzik Aleinu Sadin, and they say, Hei Natakat Safta, we know, Hashem, you were angry, and you displayed anger at us. Vanechta, that is because, in fact, we did do Averus. Meanwhile, Behem, Olam, V'Nivashaya, and they say, we understand that it's because of those, Behem, through those, Olam, V'Nivashaya, we will be saved in Olam Haba, we'll be able to have a complete Olam Haba without anything having to be taken away from it because of our Averus here on earth. So in other words, Rish Lakish is saying, this is the same thing that we said before, because these are high-level tzaddikim, therefore the Ebishter is medaktik imam b'chot asayra, and they express that in this pasuk. When we see, pogato asos v'oset tzedek, that those people themselves, the Sos Va'osei Tzedek, they say, they express themselves and the rest of the pasuk, no matter what you do to them, however you act towards them, even if it seems to be unfriendly, Yizkirucha, they constantly mention you, and they say, and they recognize that it was because Vanechta, because we sin with minor Averis, and because Behem Olam Vani Vashaya, because this way we'll be completely saved from any consequences for them in Olam Haba. According to Maharsha, it's again Maharsha's explanation that said that we're talking about where a person says on himself, "I deserve such and such punishments." Then you have you say in a similar way, he tackle gets all of his avedas cleaned up in this world and gets saved in Olam Haba. But nevertheless, we're saying he shouldn't have expressed himself like that in the first place. He should have left it up to the Eibishter's Chashbonus how to clean things up in this world rather than say on himself that he deserves such and such punishments. And Amar Rabbi Yishur ben Levi. Rabbi Yishur ben Levi says there's a different drasha we can learn from that pasuk. Kol ha-sameach yisurin shebo'in olav, when a person is happy with the yisurim that come on him, where he realizes that those yisurim have a positive purpose, that they help clean up his averus, and they can even be, as the Gemara talks about in a few places, yisurim shal ava, they can be yisurim where they don't interfere with his learning Torah and with his davening, and you have like the example in Rav Metzia, which was a couple of weeks back in Daf Yomi, where Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, for example, had the ability to summon his yisurim when they're not going to interfere with his Torah, and to tell them to go away when they will. So then when a person is happy with such yisurim and he realizes that they have positive effects and that they're not preventing him from avodas Hashem, maybe Yeshua la'olam, he brings salvation to the whole world. Through his chosim, many Jews are saved. Shenema, as the pasuk finishes, bohem olam v'ni vashaya, through them the world is saved. So now before we were saying olam is maloshin olam abba. Now we're understanding the olam meaning in this world. The people in this world are saved as a result of the pagata sos va'osei tzedek, the tzedikim, who Hashem encounters with, so to speak, with hostile intent and punishes them, and then we learn from their yisurim, and their yisurim help us and our machaper for the generation. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amar Shlokish, getting back to rain now. My dichtiv otzer es hashamayim. Where in the part we say in Krishna that Hashem, if the people are doing Averis, Hashem will hold back the heavens. By the way, even though that's a simple explanation, but Otsa means that Hashem will hold back, it's worth mentioning there's a story in Sipurich Zidim of Pashto Yid, who one time gives a different spin on it. You find in Mishnayos sometimes where the Shodash Otsar means to squeeze. So this Yid, apparently who knew enough to learn to know Mishnayos, but no more than that, he took that in that sense, that it's a tefillah to Hashem, but also as Hashemayim, Hashem squeeze out the heavens so there's not a drop of rain left in them and it all comes down here to earth where it's needed. And his tefillah was answered. Anyway, so my dichtiv v'otzer as Hashemayim, why does he use the word v'otzer, which is a similar kind of word that we find in connection with people being unable to give birth. That means when the heavens are stopped up and they're not producing, and then dew and rain are not coming from them. Maharsha points out, actually, we did learn earlier in the Perek that dew, tau lo mietzer, the dew never completely ceases, but it means the tau of bracha. You can have tau, which is not for bracha. Like we said, the plants don't grow as a result of it, but nevertheless, there's still some of it. But here we're talking about there's no tau of bracha. With that said, in the printed Gemara, it only says mutter. And in Yalkut Shimoni, when it brings this Gemara also, it only says mutter. Anyway, when the heavens are not giving mutter, it's like a woman who's in labor and then doesn't give birth. Now, Maharsha points out, we did learn before that the earth is like the wife and the rain is like the husband of the earth. Like we said, like the earth is in Chassidus, we understand that because we have all over the place. We talk about that the earth is Malchus and the rain is Zah, and therefore, and then Zah is the Zachar and Malchus is Nekeva, and therefore the Zachar fertilizes the Nekeva. So why all of a sudden over here are we comparing the rain being held back to the Nekeva herself? Maharsha brings that what it means is that it means exactly that. It means actually looking at it from the point of view of the earth. The earth wants to produce crops and vegetation and whatever, and it can't because there's no rain. So it's like a woman who's in labor and is unable to give birth because her husband is not there to help along. Anyway, so that's where we use the word netzer. Nemra atzira b'gshamim and nemra atzira b'isha. We find the word va'otzar used in connection with rain, like va'otzar es ha'shamayim, and we also find the same word being used of a woman unable to give birth. Nemra atzira b'isha shenemar. We find Babi Melech, where after we had kidnapped Sarah, ki otzar Hashem ba'ad kol rechem, that Hashem held back all the wombs, nobody was able to give birth. It actually, it was not only the wombs, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, Rashi brings it on the Pasuk, it was all their Nekovim, they weren't able to excrete anything, but nevertheless, the Pasuk uses the word Rech. Similarly, and we see the same expression by the heavens with rain, where it says V'otzer Es Hashemayim. Similarly, nemer leida ba'ishev and nemer leida ba'gshamim. Similarly, the word for birth is used both in connection with a woman giving birth and with rainfall. Nemer leida ba'ishev, dichtiv v'tar v'telad bein, or nemer leida ba'gshamim, dichtiv v'holida v'itzmicha. We see the pasuk compares that when rain falls on the earth and then and fertilizes it and then causes it to produce fruit, v'holida, and it makes it give birth, v'itzmicha, and it makes it produce plants. So we see that rain is compared to the husband fertilizing the wife and causing children to be born. The point of it is, Maharsha says, all of these drushas, all of these comparisons between a woman and rain, first of all, we said at the beginning of the Masechta, both of those are among the keys that Hashem keeps in his own hand and doesn't delegate to any malach or anything, but also it means that you need rachmei shemayim for rain to fall just as much as you need to daven for rachmei shemayim that a woman should have a healthy pregnancy and birth. Mother Earth, yeah, you have that expression also, yeah. Nemra pkida b'ishev and nemra pkida b'gsham. Similarly, you have the word pkida that Hashem remembers by a woman becoming pregnant and giving birth, and also by rain. Nemra pkida b'ishev tiv Hashem pokad asara. Hashem remembered Sarah and she became pregnant and bore Yitzchak. Nemra pkida b'gshamim dichtiv. The pasuk says pokad to haaretz. You Hashem have remembered the earth, but to shekekeha, and you've satisfied its desire. But to shekekeha, we learned previously, Rashi had said it's like the word ve'al ishich chukosich. The earth has a taiva. The earth has a rotzen for rain, again, like a woman has for her husband, and now, Hashem, you've satisfied that desire of the earth by bringing rain. Rabas Tashrenu, you've made it very rich with a lot of rain. From the pool of Hashem, which is full of water. So we see that the word pakadja is used in connection with rain. So my peleg elikim molim moim, what's this peleg elikim? What is a peleg? Tana, we learn in a braisa, kimin kuba yesh berakia, there's like a tent in Shemayim full of water, shemimenu shamim yotzim, the rain comes from that, and that is described as peleg elikim. Maharsha refers to, later on in the parak, there's machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, what is the actual source of the rain? Is it that water evaporates from the earth and forms clouds and then rain comes from that? That's how Rabbi Eliezer learns. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua learns that it actually comes from, there's a treasury of water, the Mayim El Yonim, and rain comes from that. So our Gemara is following Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that there's a treasury of water in Shemayim, the Peleg Elikim, from which rain comes. Ben Yehoyada points out, what? Yeah, whether it means physically, whether it mentions Beruchnius, we'll get to that later on when we get to that Gemara, Bess Hashem. But Ben Yehoyada points out the Gematria of Peleg is exactly the same as the Gematria of Kuba, which is why the Gemara equates the two of them. So the Gemara continues, Amar of Shmuel Manachmeni, my dichtiv, what do you have? You have a pasuk in Eov. Again, there's a number of psukim in Eov towards it. You have one of the speakers in Sefer Eov is Elihu ben Barachel Abuzi. After Eov has spent chapters upon chapters dialoguing and debating with his friends about why Hashem made all this happen to him, so they finally give up trying to convince Eov. Then comes in Elihu ben Barachel Abuzi and gives several speeches to Eov, helping him explain to him how the Eibishter runs the world. There's different opinions who this Elihu was. The Gemara in Baba Basra mentions that unlike all the other protagonists in the story, he was a Yid. According to some opinions, the rest of them were Goyim. There's even a Medrash that identifies him with Yitzchak ben Avraham, then with Yitzchak Avinu. Anyway, so towards the end of his speeches over there, he has a whole thing, psukim upon psukim, about rain. Because rain is one of the biggest things. Like we said, it's L'mayla M'derech HaTeva, when it rains and why it rains and whatever. And therefore, it's one of the clearest proofs that the Eibishter runs the world and you can't explain everything in the world according to your own human logic. Anyway, so he says a pasuk, Im L'shevet, whether for a stick, which is like a punishing kind of thing, im la'atzoi, or for his land, im la'chesed, or for chesed, yamtzi'ehu, Hashem will make the rain available. So what does that mean? Im la'shevet means b'horim u'gvoyis. If Hashem has decided that the rain is going to be a punishing rain, there's going to be too much rain, then if the people do tshuva, then Hashem makes it. And we learned something similar in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Hashem will make all that extra rain, which otherwise would flood places, makes it fall on the mountains and the valleys where nobody lives anyway, and therefore it doesn't, and therefore it doesn't cause any harm. If Hashem is going to give rain as a chesed, Hashem will make it available in the lands or outside in his land, the sodis of a kromim, that the rain, we learned in Rosh Hashanah, there can be a case where the people were reshoyim at the beginning of the year, and then they do tshuva, so Hashem had already decided there's going to be very little rain that year. Instead, Hashem makes sure that it all falls in the fields and the vineyards, and none of it gets wasted. Another example, and Maharal Shah says, of course, la'atzei can also mean kind of the intermediate thing where they're neither tzaddikim nor rishayim, so therefore the rain falls in various places. Some of it becomes useful and some of it not. Similarly, im l'shevet li'ilonis, if Hashem is going to send strong punishing rains, then it can be the kind of thing Hashem will make sure that benefits the trees, where they can use very strong, heavy rains, because then they penetrate to the roots. Im la'atzei, if Hashem sends rain that's going to be more for la'atzei, l'zroyim, then it's going to be a gentler rain, which will help the plants, which will help the seeds that are planted in the ground. They need a rain, but not a strong rain, which will wash them away, rather than need a gentle rain. Im lechesed yamtzi'ehu, and if Hashem brings the rain for chesed, that would be bordes shichnu ma'aris, where there's a rain, it's a gentle rain, but it falls long enough that it fills up all the water pits, and bordes shichnu ma'aris are various shapes of water pits, round, square, or covered, where, in other words, so each one, and then Hashem can arrange that the rain will come in appropriate ways, stronger or weaker, or longer or shorter rains, or whatever, that will help each of these kinds of things. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Chavav Ir. We started learning yesterday about the Sudas HaTzadikim L'Osad Lavoi, where it ever made the point that beside that it has ruchniyistike elements, it's going to be an actual physical Suda. Now, we have a concept that the Gemara says mitzvahs b'telos l'osid lavoi. There comes a point when mitzvahs are bottle because the world in which we do mitzvahs is not going to exist in the same way anymore. That's talking about the period of Tchias HaMeisim. Therefore, the Suda of La'osid Lavi, the Suda of Lavyasin and the Sherd Abur, and after all we know, there's going to be an unusual thing over there. Normally, you can't shech with a fin of a fish. First of all, because it's jagged, and second of all, because it's attached to where it grew. And here you have, the Eibush is going to give a special heter that the Sherd Abur is going to be shechted with the fin of the Lavyasin. It's still going to be kosher, so that's going to have to be in Yemos HaMashiach before Tchias HaMeisim. Because once mitzvah's potatoes lost in love, there's no point in talking about whether it's a kosher or shchita anyway, mitzvah's potatoes. So we have to be talking about the very fact that the Eibush has to give a special heter, Torah Chadoshim Iti Teitze, means we're referring to the time before Tchias HaMeisim, and that's when the Sudas showed up, Bor and Levyosin, and everything is going to take place. Halachas on Shabbos. You have kelim that are made from that are made of pieces where you stick one into the other. You have collapsible kelim. You have Lego as an example. So it depends. If they normally fit together loosely, then you're allowed to put them back together on Shabbos. But if they're generally very tightly together, then you're not even allowed to put them back together even loosely. Similarly, if they're held together with screws, which normally are very tightly screwed together, so you wouldn't be able to put them back together. Now, coverings of kelim are different because those are meant to be always open and closed. But one example of that taka is Lego, since they fit together very tightly. So it's brought in halacha and in contemporary halacha svarim and shmiras Shabbos kilchasa. If kids are going to play with Lego is one thing, but adults have no business playing with it on Shabbos because they taka stick tightly together, and therefore you have a problem of boina at least midrabanan, even if you do put these particular ones together loosely.